Hi, my name is Reuben Porter. I'm the lead pastor here at Crossroads Church, and it's great to have you on our podcast today. We hope this message encourages you, builds you up in your faith, and ultimately brings you closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, welcome this morning. It's great to be part of our church family and be here with you all. So we're in the More of God part of the Less of Us, More of God. John the Baptist, I must become less. I was really worried about messing this up, but I must become less. He must become more. That's right, right? And so we're in More of God, and it's all about, you know, like, how do we get more faith of God in our lives? How do we do that? The best place to start, of course, on this faith thing is with the father of faith, who is Abraham. Yeah, Abraham. And till about a year ago, I knew a little bit about Abraham. I kind of knew, like, his highlights. I knew that kind of appears in Genesis chapter number 12, actually sneaks in chapter number 11, but most of us know chapter number 12. He launches out and, you know, without many details, and goes to a land that God says that he's going to show him. He and Sarah have a baby late in life. He's like 100 and they have a baby. I just couldn't cope with that. I said, man. This miracle child, right? And then he offers this miracle child up on an altar on a mountain. It's like, whoa. And then, of course, he's got the knife in the air, which must be just terrifying for everyone concerned. And God stops him. There's this sort of famous verse in Romans 15, which Bible geeks like me really love. You know, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Well done. That's pretty much what I knew about Abraham. And I suppose in modern day terms, you'd say that I had a social media view of Abraham. I knew the highlights of his life, the best parts of his life. That's about it, not much more. And in fact, if I was to see him on Instagram, he'd be on a mountain in Canaan or Israel, and he'd have a filter pictured of himself, and it'd be something like stepped out in faith, hashtag blessed, hashtag God's promises. Maybe he'd have a LinkedIn post reflecting on his leadership journey. It'd be something like this: from Ur to Canaan, how obedience opened new opportunities. Maybe he'd be on X and where he'd share the wisdom that he'd learned in short bursts, like, sometimes you have to leave everything behind before you see the full picture. Trust God, hashtag faith walk. That's how I knew Abraham, just his highlights. And then in our Connect group, and Connect groups is where it's all happening, I'm telling you. In our Connect group last year, we spent 6 months, chapter by chapter, looking at the life of Abraham in Genesis. And I saw something much deeper. I didn't just see the highlights, the social media profile of Abraham, but I saw a real person and a real journey and the real deal. And I have to say to you, that 6 months has permanently changed my spiritual life. Definitely changed by the life of Abraham. I didn't expect it. Shocked me. It was amazing. You see, Abraham's life wasn't one of uninterrupted faith or bold faith. I thought that it was. I thought he was this giant of the faith and he just walked in faith and he put all of us to shame. That's not true. Yes, it was a journey of trusting God, but it was also a journey of faltering, of trying to take control, of having to learn trust all again. He had moments of great courage, moments of great faith, but then he had moments of deep, deep fear and decisions fueled by fear. He obeyed God by stepping out in faith in amazing ways, but then he hesitated and he made mistakes and he struggled with uncertainty and he put others truly at risk. That's his life. It's like this. But the other thing is that throughout the whole time where he's up on a mountain and down in a valley, there's just this constant, unwavering, linear presence of God that just doesn't change. God is just with him, full of grace and mercy and favor. And one of the things I learned in that 6 months is what it is to have the favor of God in your life. It completely changed me, changed my view. The unaltering, unwavering presence of God. And that's what makes this story, because we're going to be in the very first part of Abraham's life in Genesis 12. It's what makes this story about Abraham and his faith just so powerful, I think. It's not always easy to trust God when the path ahead feels uncertain. And I know you guys just said you're praying about what's next for us. It's not easy to trust God when the path ahead feels uncertain. And no matter how great our faith is at times, it's not easy because we're human. We have frailties and flaws and fears. We all do. And Abraham had them too. We're going to see that Abraham had to leave behind his home, his security, everything he was familiar with. And on the basis of just a promise, step out. There were no guarantees, no roadmaps. There's no Google Maps to follow. Just an invitation to trust God into the unknown. Today we're going to explore a little bit what it's like to let go of fear and trust God completely, even when we're uncomfortable and we're frail, as Audrey said, just these vessels, man. Now, and this happened in our Connect group. Abraham starts out as Abram, and then in Genesis 17, God changes his name to Abraham, and I was interchanging them. Didn't matter whether I was in chapter 15 or 14, and our life group's like, Connect group's like, what is going on with you? Okay, so I'm going to use Abraham. I don't mean to confuse you, but otherwise I'll chop and change you. You'll think, what is the matter with this guy? So I'm going to stick with Abraham. Hope that's okay with you. And by the way, just Abraham means exalted father. Abraham means father of many, so it's not a big deal. I'm going to stick with Abraham. Okay. So we first come across him, this person called Abraham, in Genesis 11, and we learn some things about him. He's the son of Terah, that's his father's name. His wife's name was Sarai, later changed to Sarah. I'm going to stick with Sarai, so just to really confuse you. And he had a nephew called Lot. Now, Sarai couldn't conceive. She was infertile, and they couldn't have children. And so many of us can sort of connect with that, right? The whole family, the extended family, Terah and Abraham and Sarai and Lot, they lived in Ur, which is modern-day Iraq. And then they shifted to Haran, modern-day Turkey, and they settled in Haran. Apparently, they were on their way to Canaan land, or what we know today as Israel or Palestine, but they settled in Haran. And while they were living in Haran, Abraham's father, Terah, died. And we pick up the story in Genesis chapter number 12. You will need your device. I've only got a portion of the scripture just on this on the screen. So Genesis chapter number 12, we're going to do 1 through 9. If you've got a device, a Bible, something, look over someone's shoulder, read with me. Not out loud, because that would make it really strange. So, leave your native country. So the Lord said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abraham traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside an oak at Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I will give you this land. I will give this land to your descendants. Abraham built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abraham traveled south and set up a camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai, the place, not the art of, the software, Ai, right? Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord. Then Abraham continued traveling south by stages towards the Negev. Now, super tempting to give you the social media version of chapter number 12. Right there, just get out there, hear the call of God, jump out, go for it, don't worry about the details, trust God. That's the social media version of chapter number 12. It's really tempting to give you the rah-rah and the woohoo, but I just can't bring myself to do that. you have to, I would probably say that my time in Connect Group and Abraham's life just kind of ruined me on the rah-rah social media version of his life. Because it's not real. It's not real life. I absolutely want to encourage you in your faith. I really do. And I want to allay your fears of trusting God. But I want to do that this morning in the context of being human. Because Abraham, like us, even though he was a giant of the faith, was a human. With all the things that humanity brings. But I also want to do it in the context of God's divinity. God is holy and powerful, but man, he's merciful and gracious, and he is for us. He is for us. So, chapter number 12. God makes eight promises to Abraham. Eight promises. First one, verse 2. I will make you a great nation. Number 2. I will bless you. Number 3. I will make you famous. Number 4. You will be a blessing to others. Number 5 and verse 3. I will bless those who bless you. Number 6. I will curse those who treat you with contempt. Number 7. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you. Number 8 and verse number 7. I will give you this land, Canaan land, Israel, Palestine, to your descendants. This is God's call or vision or purpose or plan for Abraham's life. And I know some of you are thinking, man, I wish it was that clear for me. But this is what God wanted for Abraham and wanted Abraham to do what he wanted Abraham to fulfill. But to do that in his life, Abraham had to do this thing in verse number 1. Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. And Abraham is no spring chicken. Verse number 4 says he's 75 years old when God asked him to do this. He lived to 175, so his life is almost half over, but he's well beyond childbearing years. He's kind of old, and it's no small task. From Ur, where Abraham comes from, to Haran is 1,000 kilometers, and let me put this in context, New Zealand is 1,600 kilometers long. So it's almost the length of New Zealand, and that's just from Ur to Haran. And then from Haran to Canaan is another 1,000 kilometers, all on foot and camel, and with livestock. Haran is also the last known civilized outpost or city. From here on in, it's living in a tent, and I wouldn't be up for that either, just letting you know. So Abraham has to leave his family and leave his known neighborhood and go. Would you be up for that at the age of 75? I'm not up for that, and I'm 55. Like, new country, new house, new neighbors, new job. Hebrews tells us in chapter number 11, verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. When Abraham left Haran, he had no idea where the Lord was taking him. God didn't tell him where he was moving to. He just said, get moving. I can imagine Abraham had a lot of questions like, where am I going? The Lord said, I'll tell you when you get there. How long will it take? Well, I'll let you know. How will I know what I've gotten there? Well, I'll let you know. Rick Warren, the famous pastor from Saddleback Church, says this. And he, Abraham, was saying, God, I'm ready to retire. And God said, no, you're ready to aspire. Abraham said, I'm ready for social security. God said, you're ready for social insecurity. Abraham said, I'm ready to hang it up. And God said, it's time for you to take it down and get going again. Abraham said, God, I'm ready to take it easy and relax on Easy Street. And God said, you're going to have the biggest adventure of your life at 75 years old. How would you like that? What does it take to respond to the call of God in our lives? To step into the unknown, to move ahead without the full picture. You know, God gives you a dream or a vision or a goal or an idea or a calling, something that captures your attention and you get convinced this is what God wants for your life, a promise from the Bible that just really sticks out. What does it take? Could be a ministry, could be a business, new business, could be a new job, a course of study, a relationship, a commitment to volunteer. It could be a range of things, but God is in your life talking to you about this call on you. What does it take? Well, this morning, three things, three real things. First of all, It takes to embrace being chosen by God because it'll help you step out. Verse number one, in chapter number 12, the Lord had said to Abraham. Notice it says, had said. Acts 7 gives us just a little bit more detail here, Stephen in Acts 7. He says that God appeared to Abraham in Ur before he was living in Haran. So when he was in Ur, early on, maybe chapter number 11, God turned up and told him, as Stephen said, leave your country and your people and go to the land that I will show you. This happened before chapter number 12. One of the things I've always wondered about with Abraham, you know, he just appears in chapter number 12 in Genesis, like, he just appears, like, where did he come from? Why did God talk to him? Why did God engage with him? Why did God turn up in his life? It just seems out of the blue, like, where did this guy come from? Why Abraham? And many passages in the Bible express that God's choice of Abraham was not due to anything inherently special about Abraham, but it was God's sovereign will, which kind of just means God made the choice all on his own without being influenced by anything at all. And while God sovereignly chose Abraham, the thing I noticed in our connect group was Abraham responded in faith. And what I noticed over the sort of 15 chapters as we looked at it is that there was just something about Abraham, something in his character and his choices, something in the way he exercises free will that I think just kind of God had seen and it aligned with God's purposes. And so God chose Abraham. And throughout his life, people recognized that he was chosen by God and God was with him. Abimelech in Genesis 21 said to him, God is obviously with you, helping you in everything you do. And God's choice of Abraham was critical in Abraham stepping out in faith. And in the same way, God's choice of you and I is a critical thing in encouraging us to step out in confidence, believing in God. You know what Peter says of us in 1 Peter 2? And this is us, this is you. For you, you personally, are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. That's you personally, you. God chose you in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, and he recognized something in you. Yes, it was a sovereign choice, but he recognized something in you, something about you that in the way in which you'd make your choices and exercise your free will, something about the fact that you would step out in faith, God chose you. I think that's just brilliant. And that should give us great confidence in stepping out into God's calling in our life. God chose you. And I know that this series is less of us and more of God. And I don't want to mean by saying this that we can be proud or entitled or think we're better than others or be self-centered. But I think this clear recognition that we personally are chosen by God is a huge encouragement and motivating factor that enables us to trust God, rely on his promises, and step out of faith. It's something else to be chosen by the God of the universe, to be part of his kingdom, part of his call, and part of his will. I think it's amazing. So embrace being chosen by God. It's incredible. The second thing that kind of helps us is this. Take a step forward in faith. Doesn't have to be perfect. You know, God told Abraham when he was at Ur, when he was right at the beginning, right at the start, he said this to him from Acts 7. Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. You know, fully responding to this request by God in Abraham's life took something between 15 and 25 years. It wasn't instantaneous. Abraham's response to this call was not perfect up front. It took a while for him to do what God asked him to do. First of all, and this might surprise you, this is what kind of got to me. First of all, Abraham does not leave his relatives and his father's family. In fact, he goes with his dad and his nephew Lot from Ur. He doesn't leave them in Ur. That's not what God asked him to do, but he doesn't do it. He takes them with him. And it took for Abraham's father, Terah, to die in Haran before he moved forward. And that probably took about 20 years. Second, Abraham does not go to the land that God shows him. He stops in Haran, which is about halfway, and he stops there for maybe a couple of decades. And Haran was the last civilized place, the last city before you had to dwell in tents. It's a long way from the land that God had intended Abraham to end up in. Abraham did not immediately leave Ur and travel all the way to Israel. He stopped. He paused on the way, and he paused for quite a while. Third, Abraham does not leave his relatives, even when he leaves Haran. He takes Lot with him from Haran to Canaan. He should have left Lot, his relative, in Haran, but he doesn't. He takes him with him. And it took another 5 years and for Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen to argue before they separated, and Abraham finally completely obeyed what God asked him to do. The key point is it wasn't perfect, but eventually he did go. And he kept taking steps along the way towards the call of God in his life. And he eventually ended up where God wanted him. Genesis 12, 4 to 6. So Abraham departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and his people that he'd taken into his household at Haran and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abraham traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp by the oak at Moriah. At that time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. Taking a step in faith, responding to God's call when you have very little detail, it's not easy. It's hard. It's difficult. Even someone as great as Abraham, found it difficult to fully respond. So he takes these, they're big steps, but they're partial steps forward. They're progressive, they're not comprehensive. He leaves some of his family, but not all. He goes some of the way, but not all. He keeps stepping forward, though, and that's the key point, and he eventually got where God wanted him to be. Now, many of you will be familiar with a Christian known as Christine Kane. She's a dynamic speaker and author, and she's the founder of the A21 campaign, a global movement that fights human trafficking. What many people don't realize is that Christine's journey was a slow one to faith. And responding to her calling wasn't instant, it wasn't perfect. It was a slow, step-by-step process towards obedience. As a baby, Christine was left in a hospital in Sydney, Australia. Her birth certificate simply had the name unnamed. She said she was number 2,508 of however many babies were left at this hospital in 1966. She grew up in a very poor Greek immigrant family, and for much of her life she struggled with deep insecurities. So she was abused as a child for 12 years, leaving her feeling just worthless and unqualified. Even after becoming a Christian, she still battled with doubt and fear and feelings of anxiety and inadequacy. And she really wondered if God could use her. She began serving in a local church ministry, but she never imagined herself as a leader or a speaker or anything like that. First time she was asked to speak publicly, she almost said no out of fear, but she took a little step forward in faith and said yes. Over time, as she grew into her calling, it was a process. It wasn't an instant transformation. One day in Greece, she saw posters of missing girls, victims of human trafficking. She felt a deep, deep burden from God, but she had no experience in anti-trafficking work, no idea how to start. But instead of waiting for a perfect plan, she took one small step forward. She started researching, networking, and she eventually launched A21, and it's now one of the world's leading anti-trafficking organizations. She didn't have all the answers when she started. She wasn't sure how things would work out. But she just kept saying yes to the next small step. It wasn't perfect, but she got there in the end. You and I, we don't have to have a perfect response to God's call in our life. We just have to have a step, and then a step, and then a step, until we make it to where God wants us to be. And God is patient and gracious and merciful. He was with Abraham. He is with us. The third and last thing this morning regarding stepping out into God's call. You may not always like it, but that doesn't mean the call is wrong. Verse number 6 through 9, Abraham traveled through the land as far as Shechem. He set up camp beside the oak of Moriah. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, I will give you this land, give this land to your descendants. Abraham built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abraham traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord. Then Abraham continued traveling south by stages towards the Negev. For the next 25 years, Abraham moves from place to place, largely within the land that God had promised him. And from Genesis 12 to Genesis 20, Abraham pitched his tents at least 7 times in 7 different locations. He moved on average every 3.5 years. He faced famine, conflicts, threats, and he was still waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled in his life. In Genesis 20, we find Abraham at a very low place in his life. He's not enjoying the call. He's not loving the faith journey. Abraham is in Gaza at this point, and he says in chapter number 20, verse number 11, this is a godless place. And then he says in verse number 13, when God called me or caused me to leave my father's home and travel from place to place. And if you read the whole chapter 20, you kind of get the sense that Abraham's having a bit of a good old Kiwi moan here. It's subtle, but he's moaning. His words reflect a weariness, a frustration about his nomadic lifestyle and the dangers he faced. That phrase, when God caused me to travel from place to place, kind of in the original languages in the Hebrew, means to wander or to stray or to be led astray. Abraham's sort of saying, yeah, God made me live this uncertain, wandering life. He's not loving it. And yet Abraham was right smack bang in the middle of God's call for his life. Listen to Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner, living in tents. So did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. There may be times when you've stepped out in faith, you may be experiencing it at the moment when you're in God's call in your life and you don't like it. You don't like what you're doing. You're thinking, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I expected. This is not what I hoped for my faith journey. But can I encourage you, that doesn't mean you're in the wrong place. You don't always like it. I quoted earlier from Rick Warren, who's the founder of Saddleback Church in Southern California. He's the author of The Purpose-Driven Life. You might have heard of that book. During his long ministry at Saddleback, Rick would preach to over 20,000 people at a weekend. 20,000. He's delivered over 6,500 sermons in his lifetime. His sermon outlines, which are available online, have been downloaded over 100 million times. 100 million. But Rick was born with a disorder in his brain chemistry that makes public speaking excruciatingly painful for him. Basically, his brain overreacts to adrenaline. He's allergic to adrenaline. He gets severe reactions, and it's incurable. First, he gets dizzy. Then his vision blurs. Then he can black out. Imagine that on stage. He gets headaches, severe headaches. At other times, he experiences severe hot flashes. He at times can't even see the congregation that he's speaking to. This is why he's up speaking. He says the symptoms usually last about 15 to 20 minutes into the message, and he preaches long. But when his body's expended all that adrenaline, he kind of goes back to normal. He says that the first part of any message he delivers is excruciatingly painful to him. His most common reaction to it is a sense of irrational panic. He describes it like as scary as hanging off a skyscraper and holding on with a single finger. Absolutely terrifying to him. And this is what he says about it all. He says, many people ask me whether I get prideful when when preaching to so many people each week. Honestly, pride is the last thing on my mind when I preach. I'm usually thinking, God, just get me through this one more time. If I wasn't convinced that God had called me and gifted me to preach, I would have found a whole lot easier way to make a living a long time ago. I keep doing it in spite of the pain because I know God wants me to do it, and he's called me to do it. Just because you're not loving it at the moment, it doesn't mean you're in the wrong place and the call is wrong. You don't always like it, love it, or enjoy it. So this morning, as we've looked at our first step in this whole thing of less of us, more of God, stepping into faith, I want to ask you, how is God working in you at the moment? What is his call on your life? What is he asking you to do? What is he nudging you to do? You may not have all the details. You may not have hardly any of the details. You may not know what it looks like going forward. You may not know answers to all the questions you have. But God is seeking from us to step out like Abraham did, to really understand what it means to be chosen by the God of the universe, and to let that really encourage us and inspire us and motivate us to step into that unknown place. Doesn't have to be perfect. We're human. It's not about being perfect. It's about taking that next step and that next step and that next step, doing the very best you can with the Holy Spirit of God empowering you, the God the Father encouraging you, Jesus Christ walking alongside of you to take that next step. Not perfect, move it, but moving. And as you move into that faith journey, like Abraham, you may find at times you're not liking it and you're asking yourself, I didn't sign up for this. What is all this? I'm not enjoying this. This is not what I thought it would be like. That doesn't mean you're in the wrong place. In fact, you're likely to be smack bang in the middle of the will of God. You're just not having a good time right now. So can I encourage you? He's a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a graceful God. He's full of favor. He's for us. Trust him. Step forward. Believe in his promises. And he'll take you where he wants your life to go and to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit of God, sitting in that holy temple in the heavens, we step into your throne room this morning, having considered this great servant of yours, Abraham, who no doubt is watching down on us from that heavenly place. We thank you for the example of his life, not just the highlights, the great moments of faith, but the real humanity that's expressed in his journey with you. We ask you this morning through your Spirit to really encourage us in our faith, to really embed into our lives and our hearts and our minds and our spirits what it means to be chosen by you, to recognize that doesn't have to be perfect when we step forward. It just has to be a step forward, trusting and relying on you and your promises. And realizing that we won't always love it. There'll be moments where we go, man, this is not what I thought it would be like. But don't let that distract us or pull us away from the reality is that we are most likely smack bang in the middle of your will and your calling. Encourage us in our faith. Help us with our journey. Help us be your people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Help us step from darkness into your marvelous light. And we ask all these things in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Church podcast. If you'd like any more information on our church, how to give, or after this message you'd like to talk to someone, you can find everything you'll need to know on our website, crossroads.co.nz. Make sure you subscribe to this channel to keep up to date with new content, but thanks again, and we'll catch you soon.